Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Tzadi Gimel in Maseches Shabbos, the 155th daf in Shas. We are going to begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Beis Amid Beis. I did not record the shiur for daf Tzadi Beis or daf Tzadi Aleph. I would be negligent if not pointing out, if my Talmidim and friends haven't noticed, that the end of the week, Thursdays particularly, and sometimes this week even Wednesday, it is often impossible, physically impossible, for me to record the Daf Yomi. So, unfortunately, it seems that it has almost become predictable that Thursdays, because I begin teaching in Yeshiva at 9:30 and I don't conclude until, and that's after traveling to the Old City, I don't conclude until about 10:30 in the Grus Kol in Yerushalayim. I only get home at about midnight, that I could record the daf on Thursdays. But Be'ezer Hashem, today is Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, and now we will do our Hishtadlus. The Mishnah is discussing the Isser of Hotzah on Shabbos, and the Mishnah Kedoshah says, HaMoitzi Kikar L'Rishus HaRabim Chayiv. If someone takes out a piece of bread, or a loaf of bread, to the Rishus HaRabim, it's Chayiv. Hoitziu Shnayim, but if two people take out, and this is going to be the subject of our daf, Shnayim Sha'asuhu, if two people do a malacha, Pturin, the halacha is that they are potter. Lo yachal echad lo tzi, if one person himself cannot take out, Votziu Shnayim, and two took out, Chayav and there Chayiv, Rabbi Shimon potter, Rabbi Shimon exempts from the malacha. Rashi gives us a heads up that the Gemara is going to expound on the pasuk that says that if somebody did an Avera Bishogeg in Vayikra Dalet, Ba'aso Sa, when he did the Malacha, and Chazal Darshin, Ba'aso Sa Yachid, Velo Shnayim. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav. Now we're going to quote different opinions about different instances where two people joined in for a Malacha. There are different types of combinations of how a person could be combining with someone else to do an action. Some say we learn in Mishnah. What happens if two people carried out a small item? They carried out a pin together. Each one was able to carry it by themselves. Rabbi Meir Mechayev. Nevertheless, Rabbi Meir says that both are Chayev. They're Chayev to bring a carbon. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Potrin. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say that he is potter, he is exempt. Why? Because each one was able to do it by themselves, and we're going to see that they're going to say that falls into the category of Shnayim Shasua Basosa Yachid Velo Shtayim. Zayni Yachal, Zayni Yachal. What happens if it's so large, it is a sofa, and each one cannot carry it out by themselves? So then Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Mechayivim, they say that he is Chayiv. Each one is Chayiv a carbon, because each one has done a malacha and they needed the other person and they couldn't do it on their own. Here, let us be masbir. According to Rabbi Yehuda earlier said, Zeh Yachal, Vzeh Yachal is going to be potter, because then I've got someone else who's doing it with me and I don't need him. If I don't need him, so then Shnayim Shasua. However, if I do need him, Rabbi Yehuda's Mechadesh, that's called Basosa Yachid Asu, and it's not considered Shnayim Asu. Rabbi Shimon Potter. Rabbi Shimon seems to say any time that there are two people involved in the Malacha, so then in such a case, that falls into Shtayim, and one is going to be Potter. Zeh Yachal, Zeh Ein Yachal, Devrei HaKol Chayiv. If one can and one cannot, so then even Rabbi Shimon will agree that one is Chayiv, and the reason for that is because the individual that is the only one that could do it, is doing the entire malacha on his own. Tanya Nami Yachidik Mark continues, we learn in a brisa like this as well. Hamotzi Kikar L'Rishus HaRabim. Someone that takes out a loaf into Rishus HaRabim, Chayiv, he is Chayiv. Hotziu Shnayim, if two people take it out. Rabbi Meir Mechayiv, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Lo Yachal Echa Lohotzi Votziu Shnayim Chayavim. If each one was unable to do it by himself, so then both of them are going to be Chayiv. Vim Lav Pturim, Rabbi Shimon Potter, Rabbi Shimon exempts in all those cases. It's a redactic, this brisa is a repeat of what we had learned in the name of Rav Yehuda Merav. Some said in the name of Abaye. The Gemara asks, Mino ani mili, how do we know of this concept that almost all of the Tanaim agree with? The question is just where you draw the line, and that is, Shnaim Shasuhu is Pturim. Ditan Rabbanu, we were taught in Ebraisa, we had this earlier in Gimel Amid Aleph, Ba'aso Sa, the Torah Kedosha tells us, Vim nefesh achas techto vishkago me'am oritz ba'aso sa achas mimitzvas Hashem ashalose esenove Hashem. There it says, he does it, sounds like only if one person does it, he's going to be chayiv. Hoses kula v'lo elses mikzas. And Chazal Darshan, only if he does the entire action, not part of it. Ketzav, what's an example of that? Shnaim shay ochzin. Now here there's a question of girsa. We will go with the standard girsa. Shnaim shay ochzin b'malgez. Two people that were holding on to a utensil that has teeth on it. That's how the Mefarshim describe. Rashi adds that it was used to gather in wheat. It sounds very much like a pitchfork. Vilogzin bikarka, and they are gathering together wheat in a field. Vishovdin bikulmus, and they are setting someone who sets up the weaver's table. I ran through a stop sign. Bikulmus vikotsim, if he takes a quill. And he writes, Bakonevo tzia milrushis harabim, or he takes a reed out into the rushis harabim. But here, it's not one person, but rather what happens, shnayim, that there are two people that do it. Yochiyu chayavim, I would think that the person is chayiv tamalomar, the Torah says, tells us, basosa osa skula velo hosa es mitzasa. Only someone who does the entire action, and not someone who does part of it. Similarly, the eagle shall devela. A eagle of devela, a round circle, very, very large circle of figs, as well as a bikora, if there was a large beam that was used to smash and squeeze together the figs, which one person couldn't carry on himself. Votzilu Rosh Hashanah, they took out Rosh Hashanah. Bekor Votzilu Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, Im lo yachol echad lotzi votzilu shnayim chayovim. If each one's not able to carry out themselves and both of them do it, then they're chayiv. Vim lav, but otherwise, pturim, they're exempt. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Avol bishlo yachol echad lotzi votzilu shnayim, shnayim pturim. Shimon says, even though each one couldn't do it by themselves, they are going to be potter. The Gemara now begins to analyze the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we had learned that if each person is not able to do it on their own and they combine together, then both will be chayiv. Rabbi Shimon says that that falls into the category of shnayim shehasuhu, which is potter. Analyze our Gemara, 8 lines from the top, by Michael Miflagi. What is the basis of their machlokas? Bahaikra, it revolves around how you read the pasuk that we read before. V'nevesh achas techto b'shkoga me'amar etz basosa. Rabbi Shimon Savar tlosam yutik sivi. There are three individuals that the pasuk is excluding. Techto. It says nefesh techto, which indicates one individual. It also says achas techto, im nefesh techto, and then it says achas, and that word is extra. That's a second. Basosa techta, one individual, as opposed to two individuals doing it together. Now, what are those specific cases? The Gemara analyzes. Chad lemiyute, one is coming to preclude. Ze'elker v'zemeinyach. If an individual, one individual did that cure the other anacha. V'chad lemiyute, one's coming to preclude. Ze'yochol v'ze'yochol. Where, in such a case, according to Rabbi Shimon, both are potter. V'chad lemiyute, ze'eini yochol v'ze'eini yochol. And the other is to preclude that case that Rabbi Yehuda is mechayiv, but Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says one of the psukim are coming to say that if both are not able and they combine forces, nevertheless they're part of Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda going to do at the end of the day? You have three miyutim, and one of them should preclude zayni yachol zayni yachol. Chad miyutim zelkav zemeniach that he agrees with. Chad miyutim zayachol zayachol, and he says one is coming to preclude zayachol zayachol. That also Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are in agreement. V'chad, and the third, is not as Rabbi
Shimon had argued that was to preclude Zeh, Eni Yochel, Zeh, Eni Yochel, but rather, V'chad, one of the cases are, L'miyuta Yochid Sha'asa Baraz Bezin. It's coming to preclude an individual that did this with the instruction of Bezdin, that if Bezdin told him to do this malacha, then in such a case, he is considered onus and he's going to be potter. However, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with this drasha of Rabbi Yehud. Rabbi Shimon, Yachid Shasa Baraz Bezdin Chayiv. He holds that an individual that does something with the instruction of Bezdin is going to be Chayiv. He disagrees. He'll say that that still falls into the category of Shogeg. This is a machlokis in Horius on Daf Beis, on the Beis, between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir, and we had a third opinion. We had the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who had said that even if Zeh Yochel v'Zeh Yochel, then the individual is going to be Chayiv. And according to both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the Pasuk Ba'asosa comes to preclude that. How come Rabbi Meir didn't read the Pasuk that way? Rabbi Gemara explains, Miksiv Nefesh Techta Achas. Does it say one Nefesh sinned? Techta Ba'asosa. Techta. It doesn't say two Miyutim. It only says, it does say, excuse me, three miyutim, it only says two. Tre miyutim, ksive, two miyutim are written. Chad, le miyute, zelka, vizeminyach. One is coming to preclude when one does the akir and the other anacha. Vechad, le miyute, yachit, shasa, beraz, bezdin. The Gemara continues analyzing other cases of shnaim shasu, halfway down, sadi gimel amud aleph, at the two dots. Amar mar, ze yachal, zeini yachal. If one individual is able to do the hotzah on his own, and someone else is not, we learn that everybody holds the one who's yachal is going to be chayiv. Well, is it that so? Is it the one who was able to do it on their own? The Gemara actually questions that. Hai minayim mechayiv, which one is going to be chayiv? Amar chizda, ze she yachal. The one who was able to, as we had originally been masbir, because there's the one who can't, what has he done? Amar le Rav Amnur, Rav Amnur said, no, I have a legitimate havamina. The kamasaya behedya, he's helping him out. Amar le, he responded to him, misayeya ein bo mamish. Someone who helps out, that in itself doesn't have chashivus as long as he wasn't able to do the malacha on his own. Emir Tzashem, in our halacha section, we will discuss this concept of Messayeya in Bo Mamish. Amar Razvid Mishmei du Rav, Afanana Mitnina. Razvid said in the name of Rava, this, we also learned this in a Mishnah. Hayyoshev al Gabi Amita, if someone's sitting on a bed, in Zavim we learned, Va'arbet Tlios Tachas Ragle Hamita, and the halacha is that a Zav that is sitting, he's Metame, the items underneath him. Tmeos, the halacha is that all of them are tame. This is the concept of Tumas Medras Zav. And why are all four of them tame? So there the Mishnah adds that the bed was being held up by these four talios. In our case, in the Mishnah and Zavim, we were talking about it's not where the blankets are sitting under the bed, but rather they are supporting, they're under the legs of the bed itself. So therefore, says the Mishnah, the bed cannot stand on three, so each one of those supports are significant. Rabbi Shimon mitar, and Rabbi Shimon says, the individual, those blankets, excuse me, are tahar. Rabbi Shimon is lishitaso, who holds that if you have zayin yachol, zayin yachol, both of them have a din of misayeya. And since both of them have a din of misayeya, we have the rule of misayeya ein bo mamish. So we see from this Mishnah Zavin, even though we might have machlokas, what would the halacha be about zeinu yachol, if you consider him a misayeya, but once we consider him a misayeya, then it's a misayeya ein bo mamish. Hayu rochev al gabi behema, if he was riding on top of an animal, then the blankets are tahar, because the animal is able to stand on three. And nevertheless, as we brought out earlier, we see again over here as well. This was the point of the Gemara. But the fourth leg helps out the third, even though it's not necessary. Answers the Gemara, it must be that we assume that Mesayeya is not considered significant. Really, we could say that we do not follow the standard position, which is actually the position in halacha misayeya ain bo mamish, but rather we say misayeya yesh bo mamish. In Tumah v'Tahara, why don't we say that the blankets under each leg are going to be tar because each one's being misayeya? V'shani hacha the akra lo legami. That there are times that the animal raises his entire leg, that the blanket is not being used at all. V'kim the zimna akra he. Akra, since at times the animal raises the leg, ha, the zimnin akra, sometimes the animal raises this leg, sometimes it raises this leg. So then, the fact that there are times that's oker should not mean that this is a weaker form of misayeya. In other words, originally we had thought we could bring a proof misayeya and bomamish that you're not mitame any of the legs because of being misayeya. So Gemara says, no, maybe we say misayeya yesh bomamish. But here, he was okar legamri. Then the Gemara retorts, v'kima the zimin okaraha, v'zimin okaraha. No, here it's going to be different. It is not like a case of okar legamri. What will it be like? Lahave should be like ezov ha-misapech. When it comes to ezov, the Gemara fleshes out what is this idea of zimin akraha v'zimin akraha, which is doma to zav hamisapech. Milo tanan, did we not learn in zavim? Zav shayim mutal ala heis avsal al hei pundos. There used to be benches. Think of long benches that used to be used, Rashi says, to hold money. So if a person laid themselves out on five of those benches, and he laid across their length. La'archon t'mei. So his whole body was laid across all five of these benches, so then they're definitely tamei. He rests on all five of them. L'rachvan, but what if he rested across the width of one of them? So then, tahorin. They're all going to be tar, because even the most of his body that he was on one of them, only part of his body was on it, not the majority of his body. Yashen, if he slept, safim is hapech alein tmein. There's a suffix, whether it could be he put his whole body on all of them, or on one of them, then they are going to be tamin. So what do we see from here? We see when it comes to a zov amis hapech, if we're mesupak whether he used it, so then the halacha is that mitoras suffix, you have to be machmir. So what do we see? That a suffix medris has to go to Lutuma. If that's so, when it comes to Raglan Behema, it should at least be like a suffix mishapech. El alav must be mishum damrina. The reason why the legs of the animals is not l'chalapacha suffix mishapech, damrina misayayin bo mamash. At all times, even if he used that leg, it was only as a misayaya. So then, it will never be metame. Amar apap mishmei derav afanana mitzina. We also learn this in a Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Omer. This is also in Zavim. Hasus metame al yodav hachamor al raglov. A sus is metame. If there is a zav that is riding on top of it, Rashi explains, and the animal walks onto a talis, the halacha is that the talis is going to become tame if it goes on its front legs. The front legs of the horse. Shlomo Zalman just came in over here, coming into the Daf Yomi. Yes. Abba. Do you know what a horsey is, Tzadikul?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Abba.
Yes. Okay, Abba, we'll stop the shear for a second, okay? Abba. Shlomo Zalman asked if the music was too loud, disturbing the shear. It's not. And Be'ezer Hashem, let's continue on. So the front legs of the animal that go down onto the object that's underneath is mitame. The back legs are not. However, when it comes to a donkey, it's the opposite. Hachamar al raglav shimasha'enes. When it comes to a donkey, it's the legs that it rests on. In other words, the hind legs. And the place we put the period slightly different than the way I originally read it. Hasus mitame yadav,
we put a comma. Hachamor al raglov, comma. Shemisha'enes hasus al yodov, because a horse rests on his front legs. V'chamor al raglov, and a donkey on its hind legs. Analyzes the Gemara. What about the horse's back legs? The back legs definitely help out, even though it doesn't carry the brunt of the horse. Nevertheless, it definitely helps out. Lav must be mishum damrina misayeya and bomamish. Misayeya is not going to be choshuv. Amar Ravashi afanan amitin. Ravashi says we also found this. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, we found this as well in a Mishnah in Zvachim. Raglo achas ala kli. The halacha is that a kohen, when he does the avoda, has to have his legs on the ground. Take a look at Rashi on the last wide line in Rashi, that he can't have any chatzitza between him and the ground. The Gemara in Zvachim describes Rabbi Eliezer's position. The Tana Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Ragla Achas Al Aklif, an individual, a Kohen Gadol during the Avoda, has one leg on a utensil, one foot on a utensil. In other words, one foot is not on the ground of the Mikdash. Ragla Achas Al Ritzpa, one foot is on the floor. Or Ragla Achas Al Evan, Ragla Achas Al Ritzpa. Rowing Ki'ilu, Kol Shilu Yinatala Kli, Vitinatala Evan, if the utensil would be taken away, and the individual would not fall, yochol lamar al raglo achas, and he'd be able to stand on one leg, avodasa ksheira. Then avodas kosher vilmav, but if not, avodasa psula. Then avod is going to be posula. Aye, but what about the fact that he has a leg that even though he won't fall if you take it away, but nevertheless it's helping the other leg out. It's what we call mesayeh, allows him to balance his weight. Vamaya kamesayeh bahadei adadi. The other leg that's on the utensil is still helping out the leg that's on the ground, even if he won't fall. Mamishum namri mesayeh ma'imbo mamish. Another proof, mesayeh is not mamish. We also learned in regards to another halacha in the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. Kibel b'yamin. The halacha is that one has to do kabbalah, catch the dam from the shechita in one's right hand. And the Tosefta says if he catches it in the kli in his right hand, usmal mesayata, but the left hand is helping out. Avodasuk sheira. The avod is still kosher. Let's say he's using the left to sort of point it in the right direction to help hold it. As a Messiah, it's kosher. V'amai, v'hokim Messiah b'hadei adot. The left, which is a poisel, the left hand is a poisel. So in such a case, then it should be a problem. La mishum namri Messiah bo mamish mamina. We see Messiah is not considered significant. Amar Mar, the Gemara continues 15 lines in on Sadi Gimel on the base, continuing to analyze the sugyas of Shnayim Shasu. Amar Mar, Zei Yochel is Zei Yochel Remeir Mechayev. We learned already previously on the bottom of Tzadi Beis and Mebeis that if each person is able to do the Malach on their own and they do it together, let's say taking out a needle together, so Remeir says you still Chayev. Yiboilu, we have the following Shaila according to Rabbi Meir. Be'inon Shir Lezeh V'Shir Lezeh. Do you need a shear of a needle for each one? O Dilma Shir Echad L'Kulam. Or if it's just one needle, that is going to be enough. Says the Gemara, Chizra Amnuna Chadam Ashir Lezeh Vashir Lezeh, that each one needs independent shear. But one needle divided in half wouldn't be an Isra Otzah, wouldn't be an Isra Otzah. So then, in such a case, it can't be that you're going to be Chayv. V'chadam Ashir Echad L'kulan, and one said, the shear goes for both of them, even though if it would be divided in half, it wouldn't be enough of a shear. Amar Papam Shwein, Rav Afanan Amitnina, Rav said, we also learned in a Mishnah, this is the Mishnah that we had discussed earlier in regards to Zavin. Hayoshiva Gabe Mita, if he was sitting on top of bed, Varbatlios Tachas Arba Ragla Mita, and there were blankets that were supporting the legs of the bed. Tmeos Pnei Shenichol Lamud Al Shosha, because each blanket is necessary, because a bed can't work only with three legs. So therefore it's necessary. Therefore the halacha is that there is Tumas Medris on the bottom part. Asks Gemara, Vabmaili boy shear ziva lazev shear ziva lazev. Shouldn't you need the shear of ziva for each one? What does that mean? That in order to be considered a maisa of ziva, in other words, an action that was done by a zav that would qualify as medres, it needs to be that the zav needs to have put his weight, If he just leans a drop on a blanket, that would not be enough. It has to be, as Rashi explains in Dibra Maschil Shir Ziva, that he needs to put the majority of his body on it. Now, in this case, has four legs, and the weight is diffused over the four legs. So if that's so, asks the Gemara, we should need a shir ziva. You need four people sitting on the bed. No, it doesn't have to be that there is rosho verubo on each one of the legs. It just means that diffused, you have rosho verubo leaning on all four of them. So too, it comes to otsa, you have the shir of a grogris, as Rashi learns. We spoke about a needle before. The shir between both of them, that would be enough for him to be chayiv. Amar Nachmar Yitzchak Afanan Amitinina. We also learned this in the Mishnah in Hilchos Tzad. Tzvi shenichnas lebayis. If you have a deer that goes into a house, v'noel echa befonav chayiv, and one person locked the deer into the house, that is tzad. That's an isur d'oraisa and Shabbos, and he is chayiv. No, shnayim. If two people did it, shnayim shasu pturin. Lo yachal echa linol. It's a heavy lock, and each one is not able to do it on their own. V'nolu shnayim, and two people do it, chayov, and both are going to be chayiv. V'amai liboy shir tzedlozev, shir tzedlozev, each one should have to do a shir tzed of catching a deer, and therefore the only time you should be chayiv is two deer, not one deer. Understand, deer? So, shir tzedlozev, and so gemara, la mishun darminan, shir echalikula. It must be that one shir goes for both of them. Am Ravina afananami. Tanin Ravina said, we also learned this as well in a Mishnah. Hashutvin shigonvu v'tavchu. If there are two people that combine together to steal. So in Perek Meruba, we learn Anayin Chesam Ebeis, that if partners steal and they slaughter, this is the parsha in Parshas Mishpatim, of Goncho, Tavcho, O Mecharo, Chayovin, they're going to be Chayiv for the Gneva as well as the Chiyuv of paying Dalit Vehe, four or five times the value. Now, there it was talking about presumably where they stole one animal. You should need the shear of slaughtering each one, slaughtering the full amount of an animal. It must be that there's one shear that combines for all of them. Ravashi has another proof. If two people took out a weaver's reed, they're going to be chayiv. You should need a shear of hotzah for each one. And we had learned earlier in Perek HaMatznia that when it comes to that, if the item has chashivas in itself, as we have in the opening where an individual wanted to use one seed, or as described in the beginning of Perek Hamotziyayin, for example, in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Chesam and Alf, going to Ayin Chesam and Beis, utensils that have a purpose, one is going to be chayiv on them. So a reed that is used to weave, one is going to be chayiv on it. But the Gemara analyzes, v'amayli boy shir hotzal lezeh v'shir hotzal lezeh. It should require each one to be carrying out a shir of a kana, because less than that, one is not going to be chayiv. The Mishnah actually gives us a rule when it comes to reeds on daf pei on the beis. And if one person was carrying out a half of a reed that is used for weaving, that would be smaller than the reed described in the Mishnah on Peyam and Beis. It must be, as Gemara says, La Mishun Darminun, Shir Echa Lekulam, there's one shir that goes for all of them. Gemara continues on the first wide line, bringing home this theme of Shir Echa Lekulam, one shir goes for all of them, meaning that as long as the object has a shear, even if two people carry them out, according to Rebbe Meir, one is going to be chayiv shear echad kulam. Amalei Rav Acha Brei Rav Ravashi Dilma de Ispe Kedei Levashel Beitzas Kala Lezeh Ubeitzas Kala Lezeh. Asks the Gemara, no, maybe this reed, we made reference to Mishnah on Peyam Ebeis, maybe this reed is large enough, if you divided it in half, to use to mix an egg. And that is the shear on pay on the base for a reed to be chayiv on. In Cain says the Gemara, the Shamina and Kona da Alma. It should have spoken about a general reed. Maishna de Gardi, why is it that it mentions specifically for weaving? Must be that it's only large enough for weaving and wasn't large enough and divided into half for mixing an egg. Ask Gemara, V'dilma d'ispe k'dei l'oreg ma'pa l'zeh, u'k'dei l'oreg ma'pa l'zeh. Maybe it's a large enough weaving tool because the reed was large enough to hold the amount of thread necessary to make a small napkin. So the Gemara backs down. Maybe this Kanash El Gardi is actually large enough to be divided into very small but viable utensils for weaving. Tana Tana Kmeid Rav Nachman. A Tana taught in front of Rav Nachman. Shnaim Shotziu Kanash El Gardi Pturim. Two people take out this reed. They're Pater, Rav Shimon Mechayev. And Rav Shimon says, Yechayev. Klape Laya analyzes the Gemara. Everything is backwards. Where did this thing come out opposite? Rashi explains that what emerged here is that the shitas of Tanaim were turned on their heads. In general, Rabbi Meir was of the opinion that halacha is that if you have two people doing a malach on a small object, and each one is not necessary, but both of them are doing the object on them, they're going to be chayiv. While Rabbi Shimon holds your potter, klap elaya, it's all backwards. Ela ema chayovin, you have to switch the lashon of the brisa. You're going to be chayiv according to the Tanakama, which is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that shnaim shasu is going to be potter, even if, according to most opinions, it was shir echad lekula. And Rabbi Shimon holds that the halacha is that it's going to be potter. Rabbi Shimon says that it's going to be potter because Rabbi Shimon holds that this qualifies as Shnayim Shasu, which we learn as we conclude our daf Be'ezer Hashem based on the pasuk. Let us review. It's always kedai. One of my great rabbeim, Rav Shechter, always emphasized that to start the sugya from the psukim themselves, and we started it that way, and Be'ezer Hashem, we conclude the daf before the halacha this way as well, as the Torah Kedosha says, "Vim nefesh achas techto b'shkoga me'am oretz ba'asosa achas mimitzvos Hashem asher lo se'esenu ve'ashem." We had different opinions how to understand that pasuk, and most hold that shnayim shasu, if two people do the malacha, they are going to be potter. Our daf had the discussion of exactly what is the definition of shnayim shasu, and according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, if each one of them can do the malacha on their own, nevertheless, they are going to be chayiv. That's a minority opinion amongst the Tanoim. They're nevertheless going to be chayiv because each one of them is doing the Maisa Malacha. Be'ezer Hashem, this concludes Daf Tzadi Gimel, and we now go on, Be'ezras Hashem, to a very important and fascinating halacha topic that emerges from the klal of Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. Be'ezras Hashem Yisparech, our halacha topic from Daf Tzadi Gimel is a fascinating one, one that is quite practical, and there is quite a bit of confusion about a woman cutting her nails before going to the mikveh, as well as the question of if for whatever reason she did not cut her nails before going to the mikveh, whether she's allowed to have a Gentile cut her fingernails for her. And we will see that the second shiloh particularly emerges directly from our sugya, and it has halacha lemaisa implications, as well as based on a fascinating fundamental question that emerges from the Gemara. There have been many different customs in Klal Yisrael, and to this day, there are still different customs within different mikvos based on different communities on how a woman is required to cut her nails before going to the mikveh. That is something that I just add editorially that is important. Before a woman chooses the mikveh that she's going to go to, one of the things that she might be taken aback, both the kula and the chumrah, that what her kala teacher had taught her is the requirement for her to cut her nails, she might find that the mikveh people insisting, hopefully in a pleasant way, that she cut the fingernails shorter, derachel darcheinon v'chol nesiv oseh shalom, or vice versa, they might insist less than she would have expected. Let's open up the Shulchan Aruch and see how this is connected to Daf Tzadi Gimel in Maseches Shabbos. The Mechaber is clear. In regards to the chatzitza of a nail, he writes in Simin Kuf Tzadiches Sivchach, Dafka Botzek Shetachas Hatziporin Chotzeis. If there is something under the nail, that creates a chatzitza. Aval Hatziporin Atzma, the nail itself, Eina Chotzeis, does not serve as a chatzitza. Vafilim Haisa Gedola, Vomedes Lichatech, even if the nail is large, uperechas valveris mikneged abasar ena chotzatzes. And this is the psak for svaradim. And therefore, if a woman cleans well under her nails, miikur dudina, there might not even be a chiyuv at all to cut her nails. However, there have been very different customs in Ashkenaz, the Hungarian Jews being quite machmir in this regard, based on the Ramah's language. Mil kol zedafka she'ein tzoa botzek tachtev b'shash shetavah. The Ramah first points out that if there is anything underneath the nail, and it's not been clean well underneath, that will serve as a chatzitza. And then the Ramah adds, ume'achar dekvar nogu lito hatziparnayim, and since the custom has become so as to prevent chatzitzas to cut the nails, afil tzipar achas nishar biyada, even if one nail remains, v'tavla tzricha tvila acheres, the woman is going to need to do another tvila. The Taz is insistent that this is only a custom. In contrast to the position of the Shach, the Taz writes in Sifkaten Chaf Aleph, Udvariv Tamuim, those who say that there is a Chiyuv Midin to cut the nails, it's a wonder. That it's not a requirement for the nails to be cut, but it is a custom in all of Ashkenaz. And therefore the Taz insists that the only way we would be machmir if a woman in Ashkenaz did not cut her nails to send her back is if she didn't have relations with her husband. So then there's nothing to lose, but chas v'chalila to say that the tevila was not a valid tevila, and to be motzi laz, the chas v'chalila, the husband and wife were together when she didn't have tahara in the nida, that we would not say. Hence, the Taz comes to another shita. Now again, we're not going to deal with the fingernails and the other positions. Just know the position of the Taz. Know that the Shach is more machmir than the Taz. And now let us segue to point B that the Taz makes in Sif Katan, Chaf Aleph, which relates directly to our sugya and has come up halacha lemaisa. And that is, what happens if a woman forgot to cut her nails according to the minhag? The minhag, I want to emphasize, is both according to the Taz and the Shach in Ashkenaz, and her night of tevila is Friday night. Should one have a Gentile cut the nails? This is a classic moment, says the Taz, where someone wants to be extra machmir, and in the end they've been over in Isur Doraisa. Says the Taz, of course a goy should not cut it, because the woman, when she sticks out her hand, she is being misayeya, she is helping the Gentile cut. And the Taz explains that the misayeya is sometimes asur, despite our Gemara on Shabbos Tzadi Gimel. In Shulchan Aruch we paskin, in Simin Kuf Pei Aleph Siv Dalid, that if someone sits down to have their payas cut, the halacha is they are going to be chayiv if they bend their head a little bit to have their payas cut. They were over the isser, even though they didn't do the act of cutting the payas or the beard itself. But if it's almost impossible for the individual, both the individual who's having his payas cut, to sit as stone, as well as the woman, without moving her hand slightly towards the area of the scissors, and therefore there would be a problem with sayeya, and it could very well be the individual be over in Isur Doraisa. So says the Taz, it's a davar pashut. It isn't a chiyuv even mikur dedina to cut one's nails, and the woman in such a case should clean well underneath, but in no way should she have her nails cut. The Shach, in his Nekudas HaKesef, responds to the Taz and disagrees very, very strongly. The Taz points out that our Gemara is black on white. We paskin misayeya ein bo mamish. And therefore, on Hilchos Shabbos, there's no problem, even if the woman would bend her fingers towards the scissor, as long as she's not doing the cutting. And the Taz's raya from the sugya of Nikaf is not a raya at all, because otherwise we'd have a stira between halacha. And by Nikaf, it's different than in Hilchos Shabbos, because the Torah describes specifically, as the Gemara in Makis and Chaf Amabez points out, and Rashi over there spells out, that there is a separate prohibition, a Xeris HaKosov, that prohibits an individual from being passive and allowing them to cut off their pace. Lo sakifu, chazal darshan, lo sanicho lahakif. You should not allow yourself to have your payas cut off. And therefore, it's not that we say, misayeya, yesh bo mamish, if you move your hand a little. No, misayeya ain't bo mamish, even if you move your hand a little. However, when it comes to lo sakifu, there's a prohibition whether you move your head or not. Therefore, says the Shach, our Gemara is giving us a hard and fast rule. If you're not doing the malacha, the primary doer, misayeya ein bo mamish, and there is no problem. Hence, the Shach concludes, there isn't an issue for a woman to have her nails cut off on Shabbos itself, because our Gemara set off in many proofs, going from Tzadi Gimel Amin Aleph to Tzadi Gimel Amin Beis, to have the nails cut off is not a problem because misayeya ain't bo mamish. And the halacha of lo sakifu is not telling us that if a person moves a little bit, then by definition, they're going to be over the isser of Baal Takif, and we don't say that it's misayeya, but we say that they are part of the maisa. No, there is a separate isser. The Taz disagrees. The Taz says that the halacha of lo sakifu tells us from the Gemara Makos, if you move your head a little, you're no longer simply a misayeya. You are part of the actual maisa. And if that is true by payas, the Taz says the same applies in Hilchos Shabbos. And therefore, if a person makes a move to be part of the actual maisa itself, in such a case, then they're going to be chayiv. If I had to choose, I would have thought that the Pashas of the Gemara is like the Shach. That the Pashas of the Gemara is that even if a person is doing an action, if he's not the primary doer of the malacha, we say misayeya ein bo mamish. This is the halacha lemaisa application of this discussion, a big machlokas between the Shach and the Taz in how we define misayeya ein bo mamish. I'd like to conclude with what Rav Yisrael Balsam told me, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal said about this machlokas. Rav Aaron astutely pointed out that the Rambam on that sugya, in regards to cutting off one's payas, argues with the Ravid whether the Isra of Nikaf, when a person's payas is cut off, is specifically if he moves his head towards the barber, or he's entirely passive. And Rav Aaron pointed out that it seems that that's what the Shach and the Taz are arguing about over here. If we say that the halacha is that Nikif is only chayiv if he moves his head to the barber, so then we're understanding that payas is not a special halacha, that you're not allowed to have your payas cut off, but rather the chiddush of Nikaf is that if a person is a partner in action, even a secondary action, they're considered connected to the Maisa Avera, then there's room for the Taz to say that in Hilchos Shabbos as well, if a person takes part, then that's no longer considered Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. However, those who hold, as is borne out in a machlokis between the Rambam and Ravid on that sugya in Makos, on Chaf Amud Beis, if a person is entirely passive, he'll still be over in Nikaf. Clearly in Hilchos Shabbos, that would not be an Iser at all, and therefore, the rule of Makif and Nikaf is not telling us anything in the terms of Misayeya, and therefore, we would say that the rule of Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish is a hard and fast rule in Hilchos Shabbos. As long as one is the secondary action, not the primary, then one is not over the Yisur D'oraisa. Bottom line is, in terms of fingernails and the mikvah, is that it's clear that for Ashkenazim there is a custom that a woman cut her nails. The Taz says that it is only a custom, it's not a chiyuv mikur d'dina. The Shach in Sifkatan Chafhei disagrees. He claims it's a chiyuv mikur d'dina. However, the Shach himself is nevertheless lenient if b'di'evet, the night passed, and it turns out after she had gone to the mikvah, she realized a day later that she had not cut her nails, there isn't a chiyuv to go back, even according to the Shach. And what then, if on Friday night she did not cut her nails, that is a big machlokas between the Taz and the Shach, and that revolves around the dimensions and scope of the rule of Daf Yomi, Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish.